This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Celeste. He's the Director of Federal Sales for Brocade. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Boy, we have a wide range of topics to talk about. In general, we're going to talk about the cloud and data centers and how to optimize using data centers and where Brocade fits in this picture. And I think the discussion today really should focus on our listeners. There may be federal IT professionals that are getting their arms twisted saying, move to the cloud, reduce the number of data centers you have, and how can you do that efficiently? And what are the best practices? And I think important for my listeners is how to learn about ways to accomplish this transition in an effective way. And that's why you have you in here, Tony, to give us some insight and maybe some perspective on this problem. Tony, could you share with our audience a little bit about your background, please?
Sure, that sounds great. So I've got almost 30 years now under my belt supporting the federal government's mission with IT solutions. Started my career in the early 80s at a company called DEC, Digital Equipment Corporation. Then the next portion of it with a company called Silicon Graphics. And before joining Brocade, I was with a company called Iron Bow Technologies, formerly Aptis. So I've seen both the manufacturing side of the business as well as the systems integration side of the business.
Been in a few data centers, have you?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few government data centers.
I work for a small company in our data center. I'm not allowed in. You got to have a handprint and you got to have an eyeball scan or something. I mean, these data centers are getting very, very secure these days. So the topic here is moving to data centers. So everyone knows, you know, that the federal government initiatives to close down the number of data centers that are out there. Okay, we understand that. You know, how to define a data center is kind of difficult and tricky. We know that. But we know the idea is to reduce it, and that's happening in the commercial world as well. And so I think what Brocade does, because they're in the data center business, is they may want to look at their users and try to get information. One way that we do that in the marketing world is to do surveys. And what you guys have done is you've hired a company to do a survey for you. It's called Meritalk. And you took a bunch of federal IT professionals, like the ones listening, asked them questions. And tell us about the survey and what kind of questions did you ask, Tony?
Sure. Meritalk has actually been doing a lot of studies and taking a lot of initiative around the data center and specifically the federal data center consolidation. And what we recognized in the marketplace was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to help educate the federal government market on how to overcome the IT budget challenge, to better understand why agencies aren't leveraging infrastructure independence, and then to help agencies find ways to save money, reduce costs, and do more with less. And so we commissioned a study through Meritalk to help validate and find out really what government agencies were thinking.
If you Google Brocade or go to Wikipedia, look up Brocade, you hear this term fabric, and you think about, you know, the physical, you know, hardware, the nuts and bolts of data centers. But I think Brocade is burst through that level and worked on a lot of different areas. And in fact, they help with virtualization and structuring data centers in many different areas, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely, we do. And when you look at the networking environment today, it grew out of a hierarchical environment over time. And today, with the challenges that are facing, there's an opportunity for major transformation in how networks work, and fabrics and software-defined networking are going to be the future.
I think if you want to paint this picture from 40,000 feet, there are data centers out there that are kind of old and they have old hardware, and today's environment demands elasticity on demand, with live migration and virtual servers. And sometimes it's hard to fit that that big foot into the small shoe, or the small shoe into the big foot. And so I think what Brocade is trying to do is assist the federal government in moving up their data centers to be able to achieve flexibility and virtualization that they really demand, don't they?
Absolutely. Bandwidth and agility are key for agencies moving forward. They have to have that. And that's going to be pivotal to ensuring cybersecurity and the resiliency that we need as our critical infrastructure becomes more dependent on that networking capability.
So if you're listening to this interview and there's snow on the ground and you want to download the PDF for the Meritalk, where would they find that? Would they find that at Brocade, or would they type in Meritalk? Or I think it's called the Infrastructure Independent Report. Is that what it is?
Yeah, and they're going to find it, pointers to that on the our website, www.brocade.com, mm-hmm. as well as on Meritalk's site, meritalk.com.
So pretty easy to find. Your little Google machine, type in Infrastructure Independent, maybe Meritalk or something, Brocade, and you'll get the study. What I thought was fascinating about the study was this, talking out of both sides of their mouth, there's these federal IT professionals. They were surveyed, and they said that there was a benefit to having multiple different vendors in their data center. They said that, didn't they? 95% multiple vendors is important, right?
95% of the government IT professionals surveyed agreed that there were benefits to multiple vendors in their environment.
And here's the strange part, is that 75% specify manufacturers in their RFP. So what do you want? Is it raining or is it sunny? Is it too big or too small? What do you got?
Sure, you got a challenge there, because, you know, 3 out of 4 are specifying a specific brand.
Yet they realize that multiple vendors are the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's look at that. You know, GAO report, 70% of the IT dollars spent, which are an estimated almost $80 billion a year annually, are spent on proprietary legacy systems and supporting that infrastructure. So 70% of those dollars. So they need to start moving to open standards and diversifying their environments with multiple vendors.
Here's another phrase that pays, a number that's important. 41% of those surveyed did not consider any alternative manufacturer of anything in their data center. So on the one hand, you want to consider multiple, but you're not doing it. It's like, well, I want to lose weight, but I'm going to have 2 pizzas for lunch. I mean, I guess there's a certain amount of momentum that prevents people from looking at different options.
Sure. There are a number of factors that follow into that. You know, some is fear of change, right? But most are looking at it. I think 65% of those surveyed said, well, it was to ensure compatibility, right? The other, another 17% said it's simply because that's what management wants. Another 11% were saying because it saves time. It's just easier, right, than specifying the standards. But best practices in today's industry says you specify open standards, you enable the features, functions, capabilities that you want in terms of your requirements, and you allow industry to innovate. You know, that's going to drive R&D, which creates jobs and drives down the cost of your acquisition of your solutions.
I was just thinking of an illustration. Years ago, technicians used to walk around with beepers, and our network guys would get paid a bonus to wear a beeper on the weekend. Now, if I saw someone with a beeper today, I would think it's an unusual. But the functional equivalent of data centers, a lot of people have beepers in their data centers here.
That is very true. It's still happening today.
And so I think, you know, you can look at it and say, well, we've always bought brand X, and so we should buy brand X because it's going to be compatible. You know, I don't have to worry about testing it. We're not going to have any problems. And I think what's happening is the budget is forcing people to consider other options because, maybe the beeper isn't as flexible as a smartphone.
That's absolutely correct. You know, what we want to ensure and guarantee is interoperability. But we need to take advantage of technology. We need to take advantage of the innovation. So, you know, of those 95% that said there would be benefits, that there were 20%, the majority indicated that their agencies could save 20% annually on their IT budget. So think about that. Of that $80 billion spent on IT annually, that's almost $15.8 billion in savings. Now, that's not only doing agencies a service, but it's doing the U.S. taxpayer a service as well.
Tony, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the strange acronym IaaS, Infrastructure as a Service, and what that means to our listeners. And what about this OpenStack and CloudStack and OpenFlow and all these new definitions for designing data centers different than they always have in the past? And maybe we'll talk about beepers and old school technology and see where it fits in and does it fit in today's data center? I don't think it does, but we'll find out.
Sounds great.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Tony Celeste, Director of Federal Sales at Brocade. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Tony Celeste, Director of Federal Sales for Brocade. And we're talking about data centers, and just we touched on the topic in the first segment. And I want to talk about more about federal data center consolidation, FDCCI. It's a federal data center consolidation initiative where they're trying to reduce the number of data centers that are out there. I guess this started probably around 2010, and it gained a lot of steam. And I think what's happening now, it's becoming a mature initiative, and people are saying, well, you know, we just can't arbitrarily unplug data centers. We can't merge them together, but we probably should focus on optimizing existing centers. And one part of optimizing the centers that you do have is taking a look at the hardware and the software and how these different virtualized servers can be managed, and that's where Brocade fits in. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Brocade plays a big role in helping to optimize the data center. You know, because, you know, one of the things that's happening is data is continuing to explode. And even as data centers are being consolidated, they're growing in size and scope, and more are creeping up as they're consolidating others. So, and as these consolidate, it's driving the need for increased mobility and accessibility. And this requires networks to be far more agile and to be able to provide bandwidth on demand. And these are the capabilities that Brocade is enabling through its fabric and software-defined networking technologies.
Scott Rendo's guy at the OMB, he was speaking in Virginia last month. And he talked about optimization rather than closing down data centers. And I think that's forcing people to look at technologies like software-defined network, SDNs. And all of a sudden, you stumble on Brocade. And I've been following the Brocade Twitter feed. And a recent tweet came up just last week, and this is a great tweet. It's 61% of data center personnel say corporate networks are not fit for their intended purpose. It might have been fit for their purpose 7 years ago, but now look at virtualization. Look at the many vendors of virtualization and this on-demand and just surprising needs. I mean, you know, the systems that were designed 5 to 7 years ago probably fit the needs then, but they've all changed.
Yeah, they've absolutely changed. If you think about it, networks, you know, were reliant and dependent upon distributed processing capabilities and local processing capabilities. And today, those clients, those mobile devices are extremely thin, so we can carry them around with us. So you need that accessibility, that network availability on demand. And to get there, federal networks are going to have to transform. Network architectures are going to have to flatten. They're going to have to move away from this concept of aggregation, access, and core. Networks are going to have to be virtualized. You know, the data center, the servers have been virtualized, the storage has been virtualized, but the network has not been virtualized. So the network's going to virtualize. Bandwidth is going to increase. Soft switches are going to be deployed. So that extra capacity you talked about, the efficiency in the data center, that's going to be putting some of those capabilities on the servers themselves and using up some of those unused cycles on those servers, all of which is going to be supported by simplified fabrics and software-defined networking. And this is going to be driven by standards-based networks, not brand-based networks.
I want to talk about standards in a few minutes. I was having lunch 2 weeks ago with a gentleman who works for a company that manages a registry for the federal government, and it has 500 billion records. And I said to myself, now let me write this number down. 500 billion. Now, did you plan this 5 to 7 years ago to have that many? Oh, no. It's just, you know, in healthcare IT, there are some big significant changes where you get these massive sets that come in. And I think the quote from your guy, Scott Pearson, over at Brocade, he has this great quote. Another good quote. I like this quote. It says, is the network and data center configured to handle the project? what about changes in the project down the road? What kind of flexibility can you build in? And I think software-defined networks gives you a lot more flexibility than a hardware switch or a hardware router can in any day of the week.
Sure, it does. And that, in combination with this concept of fabrics from Brocade, as well as leveraging those open standards, is going to ensure that interoperability.
Open standards. Everyone talks about open source, open standards. Tell us what there's techniques, and I've heard of Open Flow. I've heard of Open Daylight Project, Open Stack. I'm gonna let you open your mouth and explain it all.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So open standards. So open standards are those that the industry comes together and agree on in terms of the protocols and how things are going to work together and how they're going to interoperate and share information. So the best practice in the industry is to define those open standards, test to those open standards, manufacture products to those open standards, and innovate against those. And as companies do that and they compete in the marketplace together, that's going to drive acquisition costs down. In addition, it's going to fund R&D, and that R&D is going to create jobs for the U.S. economy. So there are benefits far beyond just saving the government money. And we want to simplify the network, get government out of managing their infrastructure, and allow them to focus their time on analyzing their data, improving services to citizens and the warfighter. These are going to be huge benefits that will be seen in the future from standards.
Because if you are a federal IT professional and considering a complex solution, you may have to get the best of breed from different types of cloud services. We had an example a few months ago. We had a company, an agency that had a large SharePoint project, and SharePoint was the solution. Great. And they wanted to host it somewhere, but the best hosting company was Amazon. And so Amazon said, sure, we're going to host the SharePoint, which is like the Washington Redskins hosting other team for dinner or something. I mean, two different competitors hosting one. So Amazon's hosting the SharePoint project for Microsoft. And so what they had to do is have to agree on some standards so they can interoperate. And so what happens is, if you have a wide range of cloud services you have to pick and choose from, well, interoperability works best with well-defined standards.
It does. It does. And NIST, the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, is playing a big role in this, and the FedRAMP process. And, you know, to date, I think that through GSA and the FedRAMP process, two organizations, Amazon and CGI, have been certified. And I believe HP and Lockheed Martin have received provisional certifications.
I might have said this earlier, but I was in a CEO's office in Virginia and opening a new building up. And I said, what phone system in the new building? He said, any phone system, as long as it's brand X. And I said, oh, okay. He was locked into hardware there. And I'm just thinking, in today's data center, you got to take that mindset and you got to take off that hat and put on a different hat and think, it's not, we've always used brand X. We have to, what is the best solution for this particular problem? Because no data center is the same. No application system is the same. You have to configure it and bend and move, and you have to be much more flexible or agile than 3 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, without dating ourselves, if we go back and we look at data center in the past, you had a particular brand and it provided everything. It provided the storage, it provided the switching, the connectivity, it provided the actual servers, and it ran a proprietary operating system. And along came Unix, and Unix had multiple variants out there. It could have been AIX, it could have been Solaris, it could have been IRIX, but along came an open standards-based Unix that everybody's adopted and innovating around, called Linux. And so that's created great efficiencies and economies of scale for the IT professionals. And, you know, one of the big challenges today is in the area of networking. You know, our data shows that 83 to 85% of the federal government networks are dominated by one brand. And that's a challenge.
And again, let's go back to a multi-cloud environment where you're looking at the best of breed. You may have, in this large project, you may have two different types of providers of infrastructure as a service. You may have a separate private platform as a service vendor, and you have to have on-demand management, you have to manage all these services. And oh, by the way, if it's a private cloud, you have to figure out some way to manage it. And all of a sudden, you take a proprietary solution and say, well, that was great 5 years ago. It just doesn't, there's nothing fits. There's nothing about this that can even dream of doing anything like live migration between platforms. It's just, it's not dreamed of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Gartner did a study a few years ago on the myth, debunking the myths of the multi-vendor network. And what that study showed is that organizations could save anywhere between 20 and 70% by inserting diversity into their network. That's by using multiple vendors in their networking infrastructure. That kind of savings is just astronomical. Our estimates show that the federal government spends almost $4 billion annually on network infrastructure.
It's a big spend. When we come back, talk more about trying to save money on data centers and how to design centers so they're more flexible to accommodate today's needs and today's really virtual environment. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Tony Celeste, Director of Federal Sales at Brocade. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Celeste, whatever you want to say. I can't pronounce his name correctly here. Tony Celeste, he is the Director of Federal Sales for Brocade. And we're talking about data center consolidation and best practices for designing a data center and how to save money in data center and how to make your data center as flexible as it has to be with this new world of computing and this new world of migrating applications and having virtual machines and doing load balancing on a virtual machine. And oh, by the way, your agency has to have high availability for host clustering. How do you do that? And you just can't do it with 5-10-year-old hardware. You have to take a look at new ways of doing things and maybe look at non-proprietary solutions. Look at solutions that are on open source and maybe are standards. Many of my listeners want to learn about this, and they may listen to these interviews at 2 o'clock in the morning or they may read magazines, read blogs too. Do you have a blog, Tony, or can you recommend a blog for my listeners to read?
Yeah, absolutely. Brocade has a number of blogs, and they can all be found. Brocade blogs, you can Google them as Brocade blogs or community.brocade.com/blogs.
That's great. I'll be blogging about this. If you want to find my blog, you type in John Gilroy blog. It'll pop up. So that's awful easy to find. I was cleaning out my basement. And we're about to move, and I was going through all this junk. I had piles and piles of junk, and I pulled out these old certificates I had. It was an A-plus certificate and a Security-plus certificate and a Network-plus certificate, and it was MCSE, all these fancy certificate things. And back in the day, you were focused on a specific piece of hardware, and the certificates today, I think, are more involved in dynamic technologies and virtual technologies and cloud technologies rather than that old-school stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, the key is the certificates today have to be focused around open standards. If you're training your IT professionals around open standards and certifying them in the use of open standards, then interoperability is going to be much, much easier. You're going to train once and leverage it multiple times. And the idea of training product specific is just, it's archaic and it's outdated. That's one of the reasons why we're having this one-day federal forum down at the Reagan Center on August 6th. It's an industry forum, and we're going to talk about how to transform the network, because all these efficiencies that have come out of data center consolidation are only going to be successful if people can access their information anytime, anywhere, any place, securely and reliably. And so we're going to be talking about the leadership required, the acquisition policy changes that are there and the challenges. We're going to talk about big data analytics, cloud, mobility, and cybersecurity, and how these are all enabled by network virtualization through Ethernet fabrics and software-defined networking.
Called Fed Forum, Federal Forum. It's going to be at August 6, 2013 at the Ron Reagan Center, right near a metro stop. Pop in, pop out. Don't have to get wet with the rain. It's all inside. And all day long or half day, or how long is it going to be?
It's a full day, and it's one day, and there are going to be some large general sessions in the morning and breakout sessions in the afternoon covering these various topic areas. We've got the CIO of Interior, the CIO of Department of Labor, DHS's CTO. We've got Terry Halverson, the CIO Department of the Navy, as a keynote speaker. We've got members of Congress lined up to participate in this event. So, you know, it's going to be action-packed.
And those little certificates I found in my basement that said I was a network certified person. Well, today you get your certificate, I think, face-to-face. And because things are changing so quickly, if you have a question about software-defined networks, if you realize that, you know, the demand is going to explode for that skill set, this is a great place to take and learn. And, you know, on the radio here, it's going to be very boring if we try to differentiate between OpenFlow and Open Daylight Project and OpenStack and CloudStack, and we'll put all listeners to sleep. But you may find a workshop or a breakout session where you can get people who are govies who use OpenStack, and you can go, no, really, what is it? And how hard is it really?
Yeah, the idea of the forum is to bring the government, industry, IT professionals together to have a thoughtful and insightful exchange. And that's how we've targeted this event, along with our partners and sponsors who have all made this possible.
So charge for federal people to attend, or was it cost to attend?
No. There. It's complimentary to everybody that wants to attend. I think for most, it's either a metro ride, possibly parking down in D.C. But you know, the Ronald Reagan Center is very accessible to everybody, and it's it's probably well within everybody's budget, because a lot of federal government IT workers can just walk there.
Well, Tony, let's put a different hat on you. We talked about hats earlier. Let's take off your Brocade hat and put on an agency hat. Let's say you work for Interior.
Okay.
As a head of, we talked about Interior earlier. And you could scratch your head going, well, geez, I don't know this. Or what would be some of the barriers for you to break away and being free of some proprietary types of infrastructure? What would limit you? And what would your concerns be?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenges today is a perceived dependency, and I think that hits home. It's a perceived dependency on proprietary protocols. It's a fear of change. Well, we've always done this, so we need to continue to do this. And then, you know, it's the challenges in terms of policy and regulations that would mandate open standards, and also, you know, outdated acquisition processes that aren't necessarily set up to reinforce the changes that technology will enable today.
And two of the big changes are provisioning on demand and disaster recovery. And that's, people don't even talk about disaster recovery with this flexible cloud. But I think, especially for my federal listeners, well, this is the secret sauce. This is what you get if you have a virtual cloud. You get disaster recover kind of baked in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But think about what disaster recovery means to people today. In the past, to be able to restore, get operational, be up and running in a matter of days was considered the benchmark. Today, people don't want any interruption of their service. Can you imagine if your email, you can't get access to your email, or you can't get your text messages going through?
Tony, you and I remember at the end of the day, couriers would come by big law firms and pick up the tapes and to take the tapes off in case the servers crashed. Then they'd say, hey, we're going to be up in 3 days. Yay, where's the confetti?
Yeah,
today,
yeah.
3 days. They take you out and throw you out the window in 3 days. You're fired.
Yeah, you're, a business is down for 3 days today, or a government agency, it's not happening. They go out of business. You can't afford to do it. So it's going to take some really interesting things to overcome the budget challenge and these challenges. It's going to take leadership. First and foremost, it's going to take an adoption and a mandate for open industry standards and the use of open standard. And it's going to take the government getting back to defining its requirements in terms of features, functions, capabilities, SLAs, absent of brand.
I think that's what Scott Renda was talking about when he was in Virginia at the Hilton last month. He talked about, no data center is the same. And no agency is the same, and each have different types of applications and security requirements. And you have to look at that from a dispassionate perspective and say, well, I have to accomplish this task. What are the tools they want to use to accomplish this task? Maybe it's not the traditional ball peen hammer, because we've always used a ball peen hammer. I had some mechanics doing some work in my house. They had no hammers at all. They had an air device, an air hammer. There's no pounding of hammers anymore. It's all done with a compressor. It's compressed air because it's quicker and easier and more efficient. Well, my father used a hammer. My grandfather used a hammer. And look, I used hammer a lot, but these guys are much more efficient. Yeah. They do it faster with those air hammers. And we got to say, no, it's got to change. And I didn't go to Sears and buy another hammer. I'm looking at those air hammers too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's if you look at the networks that exist today, and you were to apply that example, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then guess what? That's what you're going to use. And what we need to do today is we need to look at the agency's needs. We need to look at their mission, and we need to look at it in terms of context. And so when you look at something like software-defined networking and fabrics, it needs to be looked at context, because some of these are still evolving. But the vision Brocade has is to provide new levels of power, scale, intelligence, and analytics by being able to enable agencies to deploy new services more rapidly and provide control and enable data flows as they need to, and do this by taking the complexity out of networks.
Power, scale, intelligence. Sounds like what you want in an offensive guard. Maybe the Redskins look for someone with power, scale, and intelligence as well. There's a good analogy there. I don't know if it fits or not, but it's kind of a fun thing.
Well, you should meet my team. They're all big. Big.
The Brocade front four. Don't mess with them. We're going to have to take a break and get away from football, talk about technology, and talk about software-defined networks. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Tony Celeste, Director of Federal Sales for Brocade. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, it's Tony Celeste. He's the Director of Sales for Brocade. He works in the federal space, and we're talking about services and all kinds of elasticity and demand and virtualized servers. And, some of my listeners read blogs. We talked about blogs earlier. Some of my listeners are active on Twitter. And I think Brocade has a Twitter handle. Is that why? Which one do they follow?
Yeah, there are a number of Twitter handles. We've got a number of our federal our executives and vice presidents with Twitter accounts. Our vice president of federal, Anthony Robbins, has a blog and a Twitter account, and you can follow him at BRCD, which is short for Brocade, Brocade.com, or AK Robbins 2010.
And it's at B as in boy, R, C as in Charlie, D, com, C-O-M-M. So it's at BRCD.com, and find all kinds of interesting tweets. I think that's it's a great way to get a sampling of what's going on and getting a good, concise way to get information. The 140 characters forces you to be succinct and distill your thoughts. One of the thoughts that my listeners have, they're listening to you going, what kind of phone does this guy have? And when did he? Is he really a card-carrying nerd, or is he a nerd wannabe? So I've designed a scientific 10-question test that Anthony took, and everyone has to take. Vince Cerf, they all take this test to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd. So first question to you is, how old were you, or when did you buy your first personal computer? Is better.
Okay, so I bought my first personal computer in 1984.
That's respectable.
And it was a Deckmate.
No one knows, but no one wants to care what that is.
Yeah,
okay,
it was a word processor, is what it was.
And when did you buy your first cell phone?
First cell phone would have been a Panasonic state-of-the-art bag phone, which was really more of a car phone, and it was the size of a small briefcase.
What year though?
That would have been in, probably 89.
I thought you said bat phone earlier, but I think maybe you say bat. Yeah. I got a bat phone. Oh, really? What kind of fantasy are you living?
89,
90. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do not.
I'm
a big user of LinkedIn, though.
And do you have a personal blog?
I do not.
Look, you're sinking here. Do you have any online personal backup services that you use?
I do. Ooh. I do use online personal backups, but I somewhat cheat. I send myself through my personal email accounts the things that I want backed up.
That's pushing it, but we're not going to give you points for that, unfortunately. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I use an Android.
Okay. And how many apps are on that bad boy?
Very few. I don't bog it down with a lot of apps. I use it for basic email, phone calls, and web browsing, and I find the standard apps that come with the phone suit my work efforts pretty darn well.
I used to ask if my guests had tablets, but I guess ask now, how many tablets do you have in your home?
Wow. We have 3 tablets in our home and at least 4 laptops.
Tablets. I had a guy 2 weeks ago. He had 10 tablets in his home. I just amazing.
And probably 6 Wi-Fi enabled televisions, you know.
So, not talking television. Yeah. Social networking. What active social networking sites do you participate in?
Primarily LinkedIn.
Okay. And the last question. The last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
Well, you got a losing grade here. I'm going to have to report to Anthony Robbins that you're weak in the nerd category here, Tony. Very, very weak in the nerd category. Yeah. You got to really work on being a geek. Maybe a pocket protector. Maybe get a tattoo. Maybe, you know, dye your hair blue or something. You got to get with it, buddy. Yeah, you got to move up there, you know?
You know, I'm a very, very technical guy. And
but not a nerd.
But when it comes, Anthony always likes to tell me, Tony, when are you going to put down your stone tablet? I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Slowly but surely. It's always a fun question to ask. People always scratch their head and they wonder, what about this? What about that? You know? And what I'm wondering about is, you know, where's Brocade heading in the next few years? I mean, I kind of viewed Brocade as maybe a hardware type company. And now all of a sudden it's in this dynamic world of virtualization and managing services and migrating servers and open standards. And where's Brocade heading and how's the heading of the federal government? Is going to be a partner with many federal agencies and adapting the data centers to the new requirements? Or where do you think it's heading?
Yeah, you know, Brocade, it's really an exciting place. You know, as a company, we're an industry leader in our switching fabric technology and our fiber channel switching technology in the data center. You know, it basically enabled the virtualization revolution. Without that, you couldn't have had storage area networks. You wouldn't have been able to virtualize and share storage among servers. There would be no virtualization of servers in the data center without that technology. And now we're bringing that fabric technology along with software-defined networking to networking, and we're transforming the networks of today, flattening them, simplifying them, making them far more cost-effective and easier to manage and operate and maintain. They're becoming greener, requiring less power cooling, and we're able to provide far more bandwidth through those, deploying open standards-based protocols across the network. So it's really, really exciting.
You know, what's interesting is that I read articles about cloud and cloud management. I read a whole article, probably 4-page article, on app migration. And one technique is called lift and shift. Another is called cold migration. And I'm thinking they're talking about concepts that are only enabled if there's the infrastructure behind it, like fabric, to allow for that. It's like, well, I'm going to drive to Pittsburgh. Well, only if there's a turnpike, buddy, because you're not going to go there on a dirt road. And you couldn't even write this article on app migration unless the backbone was there that served it. Yeah. I mean, the people, they just assume it. They assume the backbone's there, don't they?
Yeah, it's absolutely. You know, I mean, if you think about it, we're plumbers. We are providing the infrastructure that's carrying the digital information. It's the digital information. It's the superhighway. It's that infrastructure. And if that infrastructure isn't secure, resilient, and in place, able to provide that bandwidth on demand anywhere, any place, all of these other technologies will fail.
And what open standards allows for is, you know, I'm going to read quotes from this article. They talk about, what is your target cloud platform? Now, wait a minute. Let's step back here. There's no target cloud platform unless there's standards for, you know, sharing information in the cloud. And that's where Brocade puts itself, is that, you know, we want the developers to sit and talk about app migration and talk about full code refactoring and talk about the target cloud. Well, there's no target cloud unless there's fabric there that allows that, and there's standards to say, okay, if you have one operating system, you can load it on this cloud because we have interoperability.
That's exactly right, and it shouldn't matter. It needs to be vendor independent. It actually needs that diversification to increase innovation, drive down acquisition costs, simplify the management administration. It's all of those benefits come out of infrastructure independence.
So no two data centers are the same. People are defining data centers differently. Do you think the goal in 2010 for reducing data centers by almost a half, you think that was a reasonable goal or that was too lofty a goal?
No, I think it's a reasonable goal. I think what everybody needs to take into consideration is how fast data is growing and more applications and more data centers are being stood up. So as they're consolidating the ones they have today, others are growing because the data and the information is growing exponentially.
What about mobile impact on all this? What do you see? You know, we've had that silly test and we talked about mobile devices. Yeah. Big impact on this, moderate impact, or just is it going to be a substitute for a desktop?
Yeah. I think mobile most definitely is going to be a substitute for a desktop for most people. When you look at the capabilities that are available, I mean, the only concerns people are going to have is, can they get where they get back to their data anytime, anywhere, any place securely? And as long as that they can do that, there's no reason for anything other than mobile devices, very thin clients that connect to the network. And so that's what we're seeing. That's why tablets are exploding. That's why these, you know, smartphones are exploding at the rate they are.
So we have public clouds, we have private clouds, we have hybrid clouds, we have multi-clouds. When I try to get all these terms straight, it gets confusing. But I think if you attend this Fed forum, I think you could get insight on people who are, you know, if you're listening and trying to figure this out, you get insight from people who actually are deploying data centers all the time. And they can give very precise definitions of what a hybrid cloud and what a public cloud is and how they all interoperate.
Absolutely. And you know what? At the federal forum, they're going to hear from their peer group. They're going to hear from chief scientists. They're going to hear from chief technology officers, chief security officers, CIOs, the heads of agencies, legislators that are trying to work policy, things like the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act. It's going to be a powerful event.
A lot of fun. More information, hashtag FedForum. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio is Tony Celeste, Director of Federal Sales for Brocade. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.